pizza, and I give a shit. It's a nice hot day out here, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. I love summer. You know, I was thinking about all my favorite month is July, then June, then August. It's my third favorite month because I'm a summer type person. Anyway, thanks for listening. And everybody who came out to the Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit Radio Free Brooklyn showcase at the most awesome place, the Footlight, this past Monday. I love you. Thank you for being there. We had such a great time. We had such a great crowd. We had this amazing band, Pink Clouds, played. We had comedy, Moreno Monolo. We had this really cool porno by video by, you know, montage or porntage, as Porno Jim would say. And it was actually a lot of pornography based on therapy sessions where the therapist, you know, had huge tits, not like me, like really huge. I mean, mine are okay. Over the years, you know, I've had mine since I was 11, and that would have been like 1967. So when I first got them, they were sort of average size. But now with all this other shit, they've gotten pretty small. I mean, relatively. Lisa, do you think this is my guess, Lisa Kaplan. Do you think they're small or average?
A little on the small side. But
smallish. Yeah. But fine. They're fine.
But fine. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not bad. I mean, I'm happy with them. I'm happy with them. And I've only heard compliments. I've never had any complaints about my tits. I can say that I've had many complaints about so many aspects of my physical being and personality and everything else, but never my tits, except my mom, who said that I looked like I was showing my wares in the 60s when I went out without a bra. Selling my wares, not showing my wares, selling my wares. I wish I was, because then I would have gotten some money and gotten the fuck out of that place. Fuck it. Fuck it. Fuck the suburbs of Philadelphia. Fuck everyone. Fuck all of you. Oh, God. Listen to me. Listen to me. I don't know why I'm so wound up today. I know why I'm wound up, because I have this really amazing guest, Lisa Kaplan. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
And I'm looking at her right now. She looks awesome. She looks happy. And the reason Lisa is on today is because we did a show on June 8th, just a couple of months ago. And it really seemed like Lisa's life was going really well, but I was a little concerned about her moving forward. Okay. So what I did was I invited her back on. And what I need to do right now before I get to the rest of this is just remind you that you are listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, because I'll get in trouble if I don't do this, and then it'll be on my mind and we won't get anywhere, and then it'll all go to shit. No, that never happens. Don't worry about it. Anyway, you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, the greatest station in the Western Hemisphere. We're at radiofreebrooklyn.com. It's like, this show is great. Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit, and my guest today is particularly great. Lisa, her name is Lisa Kaplan, also comic or former comedian. But, you know, we have so many great things. It's just such a great range of talk and politics and music of all sorts. And it's a great community-based station. And if you go to our page, and you can pledge money, and that will help keep this nonprofit going. And if you can even make it tax deductible. Okay. There, I said it, and I hope you received what I just said. But most importantly, back to Lisa. So we had this really, when Lisa was on June 8th, and I posted it on my Facebook page. I'll post it again, this session we had. You can listen to it for yourself. But we had a really great session, and Lisa had been through a lot. Her mother had died. She had taken over this apartment, 3-bedroom rent-controlled apartment in the Lower East Side, right, Lisa?
Yes.
And she had done
which I paid for in emotional blood.
Emotional blood, for sure. We found that out. And she'd also been part of this great therapy group that was specialized. I'd never heard of anything like this. They specialized in borderline personalities, which Lisa's mother was a borderline personality. And it was a whole year program, and Lisa had done really well. And right, Lisa, how you were in a good, you know, you were in a good place then.
I was.
No, but
the months have worn me down.
No,
since
no,
then.
But
no,
no
I'm
that's
still
just
pretty
you
good.
Being,
I'm
just,
still pretty good.
Yeah, and I thought that. So what happened was Lisa, everything was going really great, and Lisa had done all this hard work. And the one thing, the two things that we wound up at the end of the session noting was that we really wanted her to really move ahead with her vision of doing storytelling instead of stand-up, and also dating, because she hadn't been dating, and we wanted to get her dating, because it was, she was in a good place, and it was time to start dating.
It was.
And you were like, so what, this is what happened. I'm going to play you the last 2 minutes of the session that Lisa and I had on June 8th. Are you ready for this? Yes. Okay.
I think so, yes.
But I sort of feel like it's useful to go out to things that you are interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and like I'm hoping that my day-to-day interactions will be different enough that I will be able to
mm-hmm.
utilize those interactions to get a date.
Yeah, I think that the dating app is a really good way to get started, though, mm-hmm. just to have
right.
like, so how, I'm afraid you're going to procrastinate, frankly. That's what I'm worried about. This is what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of that, since we have 3 minutes left, I'm afraid that you're going to procrastinate about dating, and I'm afraid you're going to procrastinate about storytelling, and those two things could really feed each other and really move you forward. Are you going to procrastinate?
I probably will. I'm a slow mover. I'm very hard on myself about my procrastination. That's one of my
okay.
problems. I don't want to, and I have people around me to keep me honest.
Okay, you know what? Can
You're
we do
check
this?
In with me?
We have 2 months. We have 2 minutes.
Uh-huh.
So can we make another date in a month from now?
Wow.
Or 6 weeks?
How about 2 months?
Okay, 2 months from now.
Uh-huh.
We'll
I'll
pick
call
it when
in.
We're and no, you're gonna come in, and report on one date and one storytelling
wow.
show. Will you do it?
Okay.
Yeah. There we go, folks. She said yes. And she's here. Lisa Kaplan.
Yay.
You did it, Lisa.
I did.
And you're a success.
To some degree.
No, you're... See, this
qualified.
Is... No. We are...
I tried.
This is going to be We Love Lisa Kaplan Show. You can't
Yay.
Get away from
okay.
this. We are not going to let you say anything not nice about yourself.
Okay.
All right? So, I think that you're a success already just because you're here. I mean, you did it. You came in, and you came in to report. And
well, I couldn't have you talking bad about me all over Brooklyn for an hour.
We would have gotten somebody else in to do that. This
right.
show's ruthless. Come on, you know that. But anyway, so I'm so pleased that we actually are following through and we're here. But also, I just want you listeners to know if in your bath, you guys are sitting there in your bathrobes, or you don't have bathrobes because you don't have enough money to afford a bathrobe. You're probably just naked. Maybe you're in a commune. Everybody's probably naked. It's hot out. There's no air conditioning. It's a big, sweaty, fucking smelly mess where you are. I can just picture it now. So I don't really know. I don't really know. We're going to find out. We're all going to find this out together. Lisa sounded a little more positive about her storytelling that adventures than her dating one. So we're going to start with that. So Lisa, tell us what happened. How have you made progress with your storytelling? Have you been doing it? Like, how did you get, let's do this. Tell us how you got motivated to do the first. You have done it. Since June 8th.
I did, yes.
So tell us how you got motivated. Tell us your journey.
Well, I was motivated by having to come back here.
Really?
And,
that's awesome.
Well, that was the deadline.
Awesome. See?
Yeah,
wow.
It worked. And so I did, part of the reason I said 2 months instead of 1 month is because I took the first month to procrastinate.
Okay. That's but you knew yourself. See,
I knew
that
myself.
Was very
exactly.
healthy.
Yeah.
Very, very healthy.
I knew it was unrealistic that I would get it all done in a month. So then, you know, time was a waste. And I did join. So, yeah. So first I was doing the dating. I started that first. And then as an afterthought, not an afterthought, I finally just signed up for a storytelling open mic.
Oh, wonderful.
And I did that about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Oh, wonderful.
2.5 weeks ago.
Where?
And on 14th Street. Some, I don't remember where it was.
Is it a, oh, okay, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
So that was actually really fun. I expected it to be, it was like 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
Nice.
And so you always, I imagine it would be like the comedy open mics where it's kind of sad and everybody there is paying, you know, while you're performing, they're looking at their notes.
Right.
And that kind of thing. And yeah. everybody in the room will go up on stage and once they're done, they'll leave. So
yes.
if you're at the end of the show, you're talking to the person who runs the show.
Right.
So it wasn't that bad. It was actually a nice group of people. Some people didn't go up on stage. I don't know what they were doing there. and the people who were there are very nice. And one of them I had known from a workshop I did back in November.
Oh, a storytelling workshop?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
And so I did my story. And the story I had done a couple times before, so it was an easy story. It didn't take a lot to write it or tell it. So, yeah, I mean, it was rough, but it doesn't matter.
No.
And I was comfortable, and I enjoyed being... And while I was there, I realized, oh, this would be... Like, you forget what it's like to perform and what it's like to be around other people who are performing. And I think that the storytelling circuit, the people who do it are possibly closer to my interests than the stand-up.
Well, they're definitely like, I'm just going to say this. I think they're nicer.
Yeah.
Or like less.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
not, I mean, being a stand-up comedian takes a certain amount of fuck you power. It just does.
It doesn't have to, but
it doesn't have to, but
yes,
it's
a lot
it,
of
but
them,
a lot, but you
it
can't,
attracts
you,
that.
Yeah, I mean, not everybody's like that, but you have to honor that can be a big part of it. And that's fine because, you know, if you're going to get in that pool. But I do think that storytelling is just nicer.
Yeah, and I think that my writing style lends itself more to storytelling.
Oh, nice.
So when I'm doing stand-up, that's, you know, my mind works that way, and I write in jokes, so it varies. But, yeah, so now I want to do more of them. And just yesterday, I contacted somebody I knew, I don't know, 16 years ago in a workshop that was running a show. And I wanted to get the emails for signing up.
Good for you. Yeah. Shout out, Lisa. And shout out to anybody that... you know, runs a storytelling show or knows about a storytelling show that can, I will vouch for Lisa's talent and ability. And I think a lot of people were. So now's a good time to get her on your show before. I think you're going to, I think if you,
booked.
You are going to get booked if you stick with it, don't you think?
I mean, yeah,
I could see it'll happen for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I think I have the talent where my, insecurities lie is in my ability to get things done as opposed to whether I'm capable ultimately of doing them well.
Right. But did you feel like you proved to yourself because you went there and you had a good experience? Are you going to go back?
Probably. Yeah. I don't know that I'll go to that one specifically, but I mean, there are a lot of shows, so I'll see once you start doing them. You yeah. get the lay of the land and people tell you about other shows. And
right, yeah. right. But also getting started or doing comedy took a lot of get up. And I mean, you were able to make that happen.
Yeah, I have no idea how I did that.
Well, I bet if you could put on the I Love Lisa glasses, I Love Lisa Kaplan glasses, you would see right away clearly where that came from because I can pretty much see it. I can pretty much see it. You know what I got to say?
I should take you around with me everywhere I go.
I'll just whisper.
Be my little.
I'll make a little tape for you.
Session.
How's
okay.
that? Maybe I should start doing that.
Or I should. Or I could become schizophrenic and try to get positive voices in my head.
No. But I definitely think, and I also can tell just from the little bit we, you know, I consider this working together, and you know, I deal with a variety of people, and you're somebody that's really on top of it. I mean, you know, you've got to know this. I mean, you've got to know this. It's your refusal to know it. It's not that you don't have the talent or the ability or the drive or any of that. It's your refusal to allow yourself to own it. And I don't know. We're going to have to figure that out.
Yeah, that's a primal narcissistic wound, I think.
Well... You know, we need, it's a cognitive problem. It's really actually kind of simple. I mean, we can't solve that. You just got to
if I were going to get a tattoo.
Yeah.
One of the tattoos I would get would be the phrase, there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so.
There you go. Okay. Well, that's good that you can even... quote that quote. That's there you go. You see, you know what you're doing. You know. And I'm not going to let you manipulate me into filling that black hole, because I'm the same way. I've got a black hole, but I own my black hole.
Yeah. You did start out the show pretty dark.
I'm dark. That's
nothing
my
wrong
charm.
With dark.
Nothing
I like
wrong.
Dark.
Dark is real.
I started out my film loving in my teens with Ingmar Bergman. So,
and what was dark about the way I started this anyway?
I don't know. You were railing against somebody.
Oh, I was telling. I was, telling. What you
about
mean?
The hotness and the?
I was telling everybody that they were. I like to abuse my audience because. Then I'm not afraid of them. I can set them up not to like me.
Oh, so that's why you said they didn't have robes. They're sitting naked because you have to view your audience as if they're naked.
No, I just want to think of them as like just a bunch of like crazy people who can't get, who are just stuck in a basement and the only thing they have is just the possibility of listening to this, and that's why they're forced to listen to this, because they have nothing else to do and no clothes to wear and nowhere to go and nothing.
Like I said, dark.
Yeah, I've got a black hole. I'm a black hole too. So how are you? How do you feel about what you? I mean, that's an accomplishment. Will you recognize that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. And I also I did it twice.
That's
and
great.
The last time was this past Saturday. A friend of mine was doing stand-up for the first time.
Oh,
and
exciting.
I wanted to support her, so I mm-hmm. went to another one of these basement 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon mm-hmm. shows, and they didn't have that many people, so they asked me if I wanted to go up. I'm like, I could tell a story. So I did it again.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
See,
take
you help
the opportunities
somebody.
When they are. You know,
yes, and
themselves.
What kind of? How do you feel about the feedback you've gotten on the storytelling you've done? Because that's always so great to learn that way. Any kind of art, if you put it out in the world, you're going to get making art, putting it out there changes the art. I didn't make that up. Annie Herron, the late great curator Annie Herron, made that up, but I think it's true. So how did putting the work out there affect it?
I don't know. It didn't affect it that much. It's a crazy story to begin with, so people usually respond to the story rather than the way I told it. It doesn't take much embellishment. And you'll have to come to my next show.
I guess so. Maybe we get a recording of this eventually.
Yeah.
And we can play it. How about, I was just thinking right off the top of my head, maybe we'll have you back in 2 months again and we can check in on you again. You can bring the story and we can play it, a recording of it.
Maybe. I mean, I the way that I feel about it is that I could make it much better than just a simple retelling. And that's the art of storytelling mm-hmm. is to, not just recite what happened, but give it meaning. And
right.
generally, and in the context of your life. And so that's what I'm struggling with. And also getting rid of the ums and the uhs and the, making it more precise
polished.
And polished. Yes.
Yeah.
So
you're on your way there. You're on your way there. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And you're pretty confident you're going to be doing it again. Like, you don't feel like that's going to be a problem. We're going to have to get you motivated.
I don't think so.
Good.
I think I will.
Good. I think you will, too. As a matter of fact, I insist it, and I'm sure you will. Okay, so let's talk about the dating side of things. Did you, when you first started talking with me today, you had mentioned that you started off dating, and then what happened there?
So I joined Match.com because I think I tried Tinder. Mm-hmm. But being middle-aged and frustrated with apps,
it's not for everybody.
I didn't think it was my market, my audience.
I don't know, not if you're first starting to date. That seems like for really experienced daters,
maybe.
For people who are into dating, I mean, you got to make quick decisions. You got to have a lot of follow. You got to enjoy
mostly
it.
I just don't like typing on my phone.
I don't
and
either.
And I couldn't do my profile on my computer, so I just like went to Match. And so what happened there was I got close. I put up my, I purchased my subscription.
Nice.
And I put up, I refined and edited my profile and chopped it down to be just the high points. And I think that was better. Mm-hmm. And I put up some recent photos and I emailed a bunch of people.
And you're talking about Tinder?
No, Match.
You're talking about Match.
Match, yeah.
Right.
And I got as far as calling somebody who had agreed to meet me for coffee.
Nice.
But she was on another call, or so she said, when I called, and because she had given me her number to call her.
Right.
And so when I did, she was on another call. She said she'd call me back, and she never did. So, and, you know, it sounded like she was ambivalent about the whole process, and
And you never know what's going on in somebody's life at the moment, but you didn't take it personally.
No,
that's good. That's the first step.
Yeah. She doesn't know me.
She
doesn't know me well enough to
not like
dislike
you.
Me. Yeah.
Isn't that refreshing?
After a coffee date, I might take it personally. And I tried a few other people. You know, there's not a lot of options. I'm 57, and there aren't as many lesbians in my age range, and I guess I'm looking for between 40 and 65, let's say, or 70, and
so there weren't a lot of a lot of women to choose
from. I mean,
there are,
but they're, you know, it's
not a lot of women that appeal to you.
Not at all.
Well, what about, are there any lesbian dating sites?
I don't think so. Not specifically.
Are you serious?
I don't know. I'm not up on it.
But don't you have lesbian friends?
Yes. Well, my roommate.
Does anyone out there know about lesbian dating site? Please call in. 718-928-9732. Please call in.
I still don't think I'm interested. So what I discovered, takeaway from the experience on Match, which affirmed what I had thought beforehand, was that it's a really hard way to meet people that share your particular interests. And what I had been doing, what in my mind I'd been thinking, the way I will meet women is to do storytelling.
And to be out in the world and
try to make connections that way.
That sounds
and
great.
Then people know me.
Right.
And so I don't, you know, I'm always worried about presenting myself as prettier. Like, I don't want to meet somebody from a dating app site, and when I appear at the coffee thing, they're like, oh.
Well, there is a certain superficiality, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
Depending on what side of the coin I wouldn't like that either.
And I don't think my particular charms are well conveyed through a picture or, you know, what my likes and dislikes. I think that you would have to know me a little bit to know what is particular about me that makes me special or interesting.
Well, your brain and your personality are definitely like a big asset for sure. And I, you know, on anybody, and that is much less, that is much more distinctive, an instinctive great thing about you that is not going to come out in any photograph, really, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think I'm very photogenic.
Well, I don't care if
I mean,
you
I don't
are
look
or
bad.
Not.
I don't look bad. I just
no,
don't.
I don't care. If your thing is, you know, charm and charisma, how do you show that in? I mean, unless, you know,
exactly.
Whatever. I do think it's cool that you went through the exercise in a sincere and real way to get. To think, do you think you got to that point by exploring, putting yourself on the site and all that stuff?
I did. It just reminded me that that's why I didn't do it since the last time I did it.
Mm-hmm.
that every time I try, that's what happens.
You know what I'm also hearing? I'm also hearing that you like, or you are, let's say you. Maybe prefer, or you're more comfortable, or a positive way for you to present yourself as a human being is on a storytelling stage. Do you think that's true? Did you feel good about yourself? I'm guessing you felt good about yourself when you were up there doing your storytelling thing.
I do. I think, well, and I did when I was doing stand-up. I mean, it shows that you have something to offer. You know, it makes you interesting. You present your thoughts and ideas, and people hear them and either laugh or are moved.
Mm-hmm.
If it's
mm-hmm.
stand up or storytelling, and yeah, it's a way to kind of present yourself to this is my portfolio of who I am and who likes me and who doesn't. And
okay, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here.
Okay,
now
that's why I'm here.
now the danger in that, there's a danger in that, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
The danger in that could be that, you know, you're showing what you're good at. And that can be a crutch in having confidence in meeting people. Because that is a particular talent of yours, writing and performing. So if people see you and that's what you feel good, that helps you feel good about yourself. I mean, that's what art does for us, helps us feel more ourselves. But if you use that as a crutch to meeting people, that's selling yourself short to yourself. What I mean is, I can think of this more clearly in the terms of like an artist. Like if you meet, because those are visual, they're not seen with their work. So if you meet an artist and all they want to do is tell you about their art, you're not getting to see the real person. And they're also telling you that I'm afraid you won't like me if you don't see me through the lens of my art. And quite frankly, the art people, the creative people I know, I love most of them. I don't always like their work. Like the people I love that are creative people. Some of them I love their work. Some of them I may not even like it. But nevertheless, what I love about them is separate from their work. Mm-hmm. And I'm just afraid that you're going to sell yourself short by not feeling confident or not being as, let's say, proactive about presenting yourself without your work.
Well, that's certainly a possibility. I mean, the advantage to storytelling, especially if you're doing it authentically, is that you're sharing the parts of yourself that are not as, I mean, it's different than visual art, let's say, where you're actually talking about yourself and your
it's thoughts. More direct.
It's more direct and it's more informative about who you really are. And I don't expect to be like up on stage and come off and the groupies are going to surround me. I figure it'll just be a way to, it's sort of like a calling card. And then you get to know people in the community and you get to know each other.
So it's a way of socializing.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's oh, more. Yeah.
Sense.
It's not just like, oh, this is who I am. No, it's just an in to the club. of people who are doing it and are interested.
Oh, and then maybe they'll invite you to other things that aren't even storytelling based.
I'm a little disappointed. I didn't know about your fete the other day. I would have loved to come to that.
How did you miss that?
I don't know.
How did I miss inviting you to that? I'm really, Well, that is too bad. But the radio station, we're going to be doing more, probably the last Mondays of the month and stuff like that. So there will be more opportunities.
But yes, it is a way to socialize as well as to do art.
And have you met? Who are you meeting? Have you met new people through this?
Yeah, I only did two of them, and I don't think there weren't any people from the first one and the second one. You know, there weren't.
You just got started.
I just got started. So I know that when I start doing it more regularly, I'll come to see people again and again, and you get to know people. So I don't really, not yet.
So you're planning on becoming part of this
community.
Community. You found a community that you think is a good community.
I think so, yeah. But, you know, the price of admission is writing.
Right.
And, you know, honing your craft and performing. And that's hard.
But it's, that's
it's
right.
Satisfying.
That's a lot of work.
Right.
Oh, man, you should go back on.
I'm working on writer's block now.
Go on a writer. Go on an app.
Well, actually, you know
so
what
much
I've
easier.
Got?
Match.com.
I have a friend who just moved out of town, much to my dismay. But we decided to keep each other honest about writing every day.
Really?
Yeah. So right now it's just 15 minutes a day for this
That's
week.
Great.
And then, you know, we'll see where we are in a week. And but, you know, it's a way to, I think when I did the workshop back in the fall, I hadn't written for a long time and it was too much to bite off. Like I quit halfway through just because I wasn't writing and it was too overwhelming. And I need to build up that muscle. So
you're a quick learner. You are. I mean, you have demonstrated in several instances here where you, you know, took what you learned and channeled it into something that was more suited to where you are right now.
Yeah.
Those are good coping skills. What the fuck? Now, if we could just put a lid on your black hole, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder
this package with a little confidence could be dangerous.
Yeah, well, we're still ways away from that. But I want to remind people again that they're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn because they are so smart and fortunate to be listening to this station, which is the best station in the Western Hemisphere. And you're listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm here with a former comedian, now currently a storyteller, Lisa Kaplan. And we are catching up on her progress, and she seems to be doing pretty well. How are you feeling? Like, yeah, I'm doing good.
With the storytelling, I feel okay. I just, you know, I'm constantly struggling with daily productivity and just getting anything done. And I don't even have a job. I need to find a job. And even without a job, I still don't get a lot done. So,
what's your schedule? What's happening there? How would you explain that? How would you say? Be specific. Ooh, I got to get my act together too. Be specific.
I just waste a lot of time. I get up. I go to sleep late. I wake up late. I get up intending to do this. I have a to-do list and I intend to do it. And as soon as I have breakfast and I start going online and I get sucked into the online hole and am reading and just wasting time and listening to podcasts. And I don't know where the time goes.
Well, it's fine if you're listening.
And I avoid. I avoid doing
you're
the things.
Avoiding.
That, yeah, it's mostly avoidance. I think it's.
So you know what it is.
Yeah,
and
it's getting past it. It's really difficult.
Yeah, and how?
And energy level. I have a lot of trouble with my energy level. I have sleep apnea. I started using a CPAP not long ago, so that's helping.
Have you been to a doctor? Do you go to regular doctor appointments?
I have fibromyalgia. Like, you know, I have different
things
that are also, I mean, you know, not horrible.
Right.
But.
Well, we're not spring chickens, for God's sakes.
No.
No. So there's some of that. Some of it is.
So that's what I'm struggling with.
Some of it is physical.
Yeah.
How's the job thing going?
I haven't really.
Do you have a plan?
I sort of have a plan. Not really. I also, a friend of mine might have a job for me. I like not working.
Tell me about it.
But I can't keep doing that. And so, I don't mind working. I hate job hunting.
Do you think if you had a job that would organize your time better?
But then I would be frustrated that I didn't have enough time. I mean, one of the advantages of having been unemployed and still not getting anything done is when I do have a job, I realize that not having the job wouldn't make me more productive. Like a lot of times when you're working, you're like, if only I didn't have to do this for 8 hours a day, I could really get something done. But I know about myself
I think that's really common. I mean, I've been on both sides of that, you know, and having a job definitely makes all of your time much more focused, mm-hmm. all of your free time.
Yeah. I'm also trying not to, like, I smoke pot sometimes, and that really messes up my productivity, so I'm trying to give that up. And
I like to smoke pot. I use pot as a reward.
Yeah.
You know, like when
I use it to avoid stuff.
You use it to avoid.
Yeah.
I'm
generally avoidant. I think that's my big problem.
Yeah, the procrastinating, avoiding. Some of it seems a little physical, which could be an energy issue. Do you do enough walking?
No, and I have a lot of foot pain. That's the other thing. I started walking about 9 months ago, tried as the way to start getting healthier, and I had enormous foot pain. I have to lose weight, I think. Mm-hmm. Like I had Achilles tendonitis, and then mm-hmm. now I also have fibromyalgic pain in my feet. Mm-hmm. And so the obvious solution is to lose weight. But to do that requires exercising.
Or maybe that's a kind of a group. I mean, you do really well in groups. You did really well with your psychological group, and you did really well with your storytelling group. And there are many, many people who want to be more physically active and have a lot of obstacles to that. Have you thought about that?
I have, but it's hard to find people that are at the same level that you're at in terms of what they need and are proximal to you, like live nearby.
Right.
How are you going to... I tried for a little while with a friend of mine who was also trying to diet and exercise, and I bought the Jillian Michaels 90-day workout routine, mm-hmm. and I thought, if I can do the first 15 minutes of this 14 CD collection, I will be beyond, like, that's all. Their warm-up was, if I could do, I would be great.
So, and that would happen there?
I didn't get anywhere near.
Well, what about if you...
I intend to. I have an exercise bike at home that mm-hmm. I want to use, and I will.
Walking can be really good because it's really quick and it's easy, like a walk around the block.
Yeah, but I have pain.
I
can, but not for exercise. Like, it's just not... It doesn't make sense.
These are all real issues. I think... You know, making your, how about making your goals realistic? Do you do that?
I do. I keep adjusting and changing and talk about it in therapy. I'm working on it.
You are.
Maybe eventually I'll figure it out. But it's a constant action and feedback and readjustment and trying. It's also difficult to figure out how much of it is resisting it and avoidance versus how much of it is legitimate trying to figure out what works best. And so,
accurately. And I think some of that,
so that's the hard part is
right. And I think some of that, I think it seems to me that your charm and your downfall is your self-criticism. Because it motivates you in a lot of ways, and
it demotivates me in a lot of ways.
Well, it keeps you from fooling yourself, but I think it's also really confusing when it comes to trying to actually be realistic about what you can and can't accomplish.
Right.
So I think that's really a good area to work on. Are you still in therapy at all? Or
I do. So the day program that I was in, which
that was a group
5 days
that,
a week.
Group therapy 5 days a week with borderline
actually
people,
three times a week was the group therapy, and then 2 days a week was something else.
So
now I'm doing that once a week for the group therapy, and once a week for individual. And so it's, you know, the group is not quite as effective because you're not meeting as much, but it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly I find it interesting, and I have to be in it to do have the day therapist. So the individual.
But do you feel like, it's really like self-esteem problems. And I remember, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like when you were talking about growing up in your family, your mother just sounded, I mean, your father died when you were
three,
which is horrific. And I remember thinking that you had who knows what would have happened, but I do get the feeling that you feel you weren't protected from your mom because he wasn't around, which having the borderline mother that you had makes a lot of sense. So it would be natural that you would have self-esteem problems. And I think you're actually okay. Like, you're like, yeah, I got self-esteem problems. I know that.
Well, knowing it and overcoming it are two different things.
Right.
That's the hard part.
Right. So the hard part is like...
And that's what we deal with in therapy. You know, feeling entitled, lately we've been talking about how I'm not selfish enough in general. I have an empathy problem.
Really?
In that I am... too empathetic, and I take on the world's and my friends' problems and feel responsible.
So you feel like you want to help people.
I do,
and that's there's a certain
loss. You know,
because as long as there is a lot of positive feedback in doing that.
I don't think I do it for that.
No.
I think it's because, if you help the right people, there is.
But
if you're helping narcissists, then it's just furthering a bad pattern.
But you feel you can accomplish something by helping somebody else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess lately, what was the latest revelation in therapy was that I identify with people in trouble. And so I give to them as a way to give to myself.
Mm.
But
wow, that's a good insight.
Really, I don't. It's not to my benefit.
Right.
I mean, it's also about values and feeling like we should all be taking care of each other. And in this horrible world where there's no safety net, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, man. That's fucking idealistic.
Yeah.
But you are also getting...
it's not idealistic. It's painful because the world is
a lot
of suffering, and
yeah.
I feel responsible to alleviate suffering within my circle, and you can't.
No.
To the level that I feel I need to.
No. And then also people, don't you ever feel angry? People, I mean, you sound like you perhaps set yourself up to be taken advantage of.
I probably have. I'm trying to stop that. I'm trying to, I got rid of some people in my life that were sucking the energy out of me, one of them being my mother. And so I'm trying not to do that. And that's partly what I'm navigating, is how to recognize people who can give back to you what you give to them.
Wow.
You know, that it's a mutual relationship, and not that you think you're helping them and you think they're grateful. And you think, really, I mean, the important part is you think they will have your back when you need them. And that's not a given. And I discovered that with a long relationship.
And you mean a long-term relationship?
A friendship.
A friendship.
A 10-year friendship that and I realized I was not going to get back what I was giving her. And I was giving her a lot. And so I don't know that I could have ended the relationship, but it ended itself through some magical occurrence.
Huh.
So I'm trying not to repeat that. And I'm trying to figure out who I can give to that will give back.
That's so smart. You sound really fucking healthy, frankly. You ask me. You sound, you know what I'm thinking now? I'm thinking that you're definitely on, I mean, do you feel like you're on the upswing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do want to have you back in 2 months. Because I honestly, in a certain way, I feel like this is all so positive. There's really nothing to talk about. This is what I feel.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. It's interesting. But you know what this is like? Like with the first session you were on, you were kind of like on the beginning of the journey. And we were like, yeah, we got to get this going. But you would clearly have it going. And I think you own that, do you? In spite of the black hole.
I don't know that I do. Or I don't appreciate that. I see the parts where I'm not.
Okay, but when I push you on it, you will say, I am doing that. Or you just told me, I don't even want to make a joke about our president or anything like that. I almost did, and I don't even want to bother. I certainly wouldn't want to do it in the room with you. Because that's insulting to you. But the point is that like when we were talking just right now about you, either however the woman got out of your life, doesn't even matter, but you were recognizing that that was a good thing for you and that you wanted to bring that sort of way of viewing and handling relationships forward in other areas of your life. And that is a very positive pro-growth thing that you said, no?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know that?
I do, but
you
I don't.
Do.
I see the ways that it's not happening. And I see, you know, it's like my apartment. You know, my mother was a hoarder. When she died, I started fixing it up, and so it's been almost it'll be 2 years in September, and in a month, and so people come over and they're like, "Oh, your apartment looks great." I go into my apartment. Sometimes I walk around. I'm like, my apartment is amazing. But a lot of times I walk around like, this I have to do, that I have to do. I haven't done this yet, you know. So I see the things that. The ways that I haven't done it.
Mm-hmm, that's
and then
human.
I also have a brother who's very critical of how I haven't done this and that. And
do you see your brother very often?
Not that often. I saw him a few months ago around another relative's passing.
I'm sororry. Oh.
And she was 97.
Oh, wow. I'm not sorry. That's awesome.
Her last words to me were basically calling me fat.
You know, my mother used to say that to like all her home health aides. She's horrible.
Yeah. So
that's horrible.
I'm not too broken up.
No, but. That's horrible. Anyway.
But anyway, you know, so I have that, you know, and he's from my family of origin who, you know, you have the dynamics that you have when you were growing up. And we're still in that dynamic where there's a lot of negativity and criticism. And I have to sort of push, you know, when it happens from somebody in that family, it hurts more and it affects you more than somebody randomly in your life. And so I have to just have distance from that.
Take a break from that because you're in a good place. You're in a growing place. And so that's just going to, you're not ready to deal with him yet, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're getting there, though. I think this could all lead into like a nice relationship because you're starting to sound. Do you realize how well adjusted you sound? Not just well adjusted. You sound like a survivor in the sense of somebody who's been through something really difficult and is healing and on the way to being healed. On the way.
Yeah, I just you know, time's running out.
is having a compliment tough? Is that part of it? Like, is it partly when I compliment you? Is that the problem? Like, you're okay saying, acknowledging that you're okay and that things are going well?
No,
or
I like compliments. But you know, since we're discussing it, I'm just talking about what's wrong with you. Well, I guess the whole picture. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. if you were tearing me down, I maybe would say, well, I did this and I did that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm more focused on the bad
stuff.
See,
when you came in today from the original really brief discussion, you said, well, I'd gone to some storytelling and I did some, but I haven't done much with dating. And then I thought, oh, she's resisting dating and maybe we're going to need to, I really thought we were going to need to talk about that, like what's getting in the way or, you know, what's happened when you've made attempts and stuff like that. But the way that you have it worked out in your mind, it surprises me from how you presented it at first, because mm-hmm. the way that you have it worked out in your mind is very sensible and healthy, I think. I mean, that you found you went out first and did the thing that you wanted to do that you have control over, you know, because it's up to you to go out
right.
and do it.
You just send an email.
Like, no, but you're like, I'm going out today. I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to arrange a date with another human, which is much more complex. So you went out and did it. And then you also see a future in that, both socially, which is really good, whether you meet somebody you can date or not.
Just friends.
Yeah, I mean, so you're meeting new people and you're comfortable and happy meeting new people that way, mm-hmm. which is in a sense saying hello to dating.
Right.
So, you know, I think it sounds really good. I just think that right now the cake is in the oven. So there's not really that much to say.
Okay.
Except that I think it would be good if you came back in two months and we can see. Now that we're on this road together, we might as well just keep going. What's 2 months? September, October?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it. What do you think?
Okay.
Anything else going on in your life? We have a few minutes left.
Is anything else going on in my life?
What is there any new relationships, male or female or anything, that are developing that you think are kind of healthy? I don't mean... That has to do with dating.
A lot of it feels like a lot of people are leaving, actually. Like, I had some good relationships, like one, you know,
everybody's
my friend
gone to LA, you mean?
Well, Seattle and other places. So the people that I still feel much more rich in the number of people I interact with these days as opposed to like 5 years ago, or even 3 years ago. Yeah, that it feels like there's people out there, and I feel if I get out there, it's up to me, you know. If I have to leave the apartment, basically.
Oh,
that's the first step.
I know, it's and hard. Well, three bedrooms,
if I did that, yeah,
I'd be afraid somebody would run in and take over.
I know.
No, so I mean, you like your apartment.
I like my, but even when I didn't like my apartment, I just didn't go out. If I don't have to, one of the jobs that may be coming that I might get, I would be working at home again, and that's not good for me. So,
right.
Because it's hard for me to get out of the house. It's easy for me to stay home.
Right. We need to get your job out of the house. What kind of work would you?
Administrative, and mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have any.
So, but you do like, you know, the whole Excel and Word and all
Excel,
that.
Salesforce,
and have
Mac
you have
pieces.
You signed up with all sorts of services? To
not
get,
yet.
Why not?
Because I'm avoidant.
Oh, well, that's bad.
I know. Yeah.
Oh, there. That's what it is.
Yeah. I just
okay.
Don't...
Do you think you could do that in 2 months?
I have to. Because I'm running out of money.
Okay.
I don't need to...
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You don't need to get a job in 2 months, okay? I'm not going to put that on you. But I am going to put on you that you have to produce...
Well, you don't have to put it on me because I have...
No, but we're giving you a deadline. You need deadlines.
I do.
You need deadlines, and you're going to report in...
I need deadlines. I need to be beholden.
You need to help me because I need to see, like, I am now emotionally invested in your growth. Like,
am if I you your don't project?
If you don't fucking get your shit together, I'm not going to have anything to prove. But also, the thing is that there are a lot of things you can do to look for work without actually having to get without the job. And like, you know, I mean, like what you did on, you know, filling out the form on Match.com that got you started, inspired you to start thinking something else. And you came up with something really healthy and that was suited to you. Meet people through storytelling. And I know, I am 100% sure that if you take some measures to get a job that you will, you know, you're obviously smart and astute at all this stuff. And that's going to, because that's the one thing that's holding you back now. That's the area of your life that's holding you back, because it's not the job. It's what the job means. The job means getting out of the house. It means organizing your time. It means...
Well, I also need the money. I mean,
I'm clear on that. That goes...
I don't want to, like, find out at the... You know, when I'm...
Without saying all my
anxiety in the background,
all my sweating naked people in their basement hovels are in the same boat with you. That goes without saying. You need the money. Of course you need the money. You're in a basement right now on a radio station, you know, that is in a basement. You need to get out there, obviously. So we know that the money, we take that for granted that you need the money. So we need to see measurement in that, a positive. What do you think you could do just tactically? What could you do right away to take charge in that area, do you think?
Well, I could go on the, like, Monster and Indeed and just my resume and fill out all the forms and do all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you could do that?
I could.
Do you think we'll make a deal?
Is that going to be my assignment?
Assignment. That's your assignment in the next week. Those two things. And then...
No, I have other things I have to
do. Okay, how about...
I'm dealing
about
with
the next...
a lot of other stuff.
Okay,
right now.
How about in a month?
In a month, I could do it.
Okay,
yes.
So I'm going to write you an email in a month.
Okay.
And then in 2 months, you're going to come back. But by that time, I want to hear how you signed up, what happened. And there has to be at least one or two failed job interview attempts or job.
I thought I had a job.
Really?
And
that's great.
Yeah,
what was it?
About a month ago. At a nonprofit, a friend of mine hooked me up, and I thought I had it, and I was being uncharacteristically optimistic,
but
I did not get it.
Oh.
So I went on three interviews. And
three interviews.
For that job, so.
Oh, well, they obviously...
So I did, yeah, I tried.
Yeah, well, they liked you. You were...
Yeah.
See,
thought it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's the hunting I hate.
It's the hunting.
If there's a job that presents itself, I will go for it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. We know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So thanks for listening. If you want to write to me, I'm Dr. Lisa at radiofreebrooklyn.org. And Lisa Kaplan's here, and we're going to have her back. And she's going to have a job in 2 months or be close to one, because that's the final piece to the puzzle to really getting it all together.
Yes.
And we need you to do that. We all do.